And Ms. Kenzinger.
Making sure we have housing that fits every stage of life is important. I know a few weeks ago, sitting at the First Friday Luncheon, listening to our state representatives talk about initiatives that the state is taking to help developers. Because when you put in something, infrastructure is expensive, and putting those things down. So most developers at this point in time, if you go back many years, they put in 8 to 15 houses. And now they've got to put in 80 houses to make it worthwhile. And so the state's going to come alongside and start offering things to incentivize those developers to be able to put in a smaller area of houses that cities need or smaller cities need. We don't need 80 of all the same right now in Findlay, but we could use 15 to 20 in this price point. I think if you look at what's on the market, there are a lot of houses in the $100,000 to $150,000 range that are on the market right now in Findlay, but we need the next tier point. Right, we need the next 200 to 300 so people can sell their lower houses and move up as they move through life. And we just don't have a lot of that movement happening in Findlay. So I think it's important that we help. Zoning is important, making sure we're partnering with developers to make sure that infrastructure is done correctly and planning it as we start. Those are all important things that we do, right? Because city paving and water and sewer, that's what we get to decide on city council. And those are the things that we can help affect.
And Mr. Needles.
I would agree with both the candidates. I would also add that, you know, coming up with a way to streamline the process as far as building, getting these contractors and builders a quicker way to actually build these when we do have the right property and the zoning to do this. Making it a streamlined process and not have to go through maybe a lot of red tape. But still being able to regulate it enough that it doesn't go off the rails. Definitely to what they said, and just to streamline that process.
And Mr. Wagner.
I agree with everything that's been said here so far. It's we have to keep a close eye on not allowing too much government overreach. From my experience, that always presents roadblocks to big developers coming in and want to develop. Now, obviously, we have to make sure that they're zoned properly and they're being built to the specs we want them to be built here in Findlay and where we want them to be built. But we need everything that's been mentioned at this table so far. I don't think this is debate. This is going to be a good problem for Findlay as we grow, and I want us to continue to grow, and there are such thing as good problems. So I'm here to work on this problem, and I would actually like to be on the development and zoning campaign if I'm committee, if I'm lucky enough to be selected by the voters. So it's good challenges. We'll get through it.
I mentioned earlier that we get to more of the city's finances. Earlier this year, Auditor Stasiak said that the city's budget is no longer sustainable. Mayor Murn, on the other hand, defended the practice of deficit budgeting, if you will, and asserted that allowing department heads the flexibility of determining where to trim spending and return money to the general fund allows for more efficient operation of city departments. What would your approach be to this budget process? And we'll begin with Mr. Wagner.
I'm not an expert on this yet. I'm trying to learn. I've been going to all the council meetings. I have not been to the finance and appropriations meetings yet, so I'm not going to lean into this like I'm a know-it-all or that I know exactly what Jim is talking about. From what I've seen so far, I think the administration has been doing a very good job. I plan to learn more and get more deeply into this process and learn the actual dollars and cents, exactly what's going on. But I couldn't sit right here right now and go toe-to-toe with Jim or with the mayor's with the mayor right now as well. But I do have a business sense. I did go to Ohio State and got my business degree. So and I know this guy right here is pretty sharp in numbers as well. So if I'm lucky enough and fortunate enough to get put on into this position, I will keep a very close eye on all money that's spent.
Mr. Needles.
I tip my hat to you, sir, for the nice compliment. I am good with numbers in finance, yeah, but still have a lot to learn as far as it would be, as far as the city's finances go. I do believe we are in a good spot financially. And I think we're in that strong position because of everyone who came before us, and they had the foresight to understand that we need to have that money on reserve in case of a financial situation that would be, you know, it could be anything, but something that maybe we didn't expect. And I think we owe it to them to continue that tradition and continue the being fiscally responsible as a city so that we are ready in case something does happen that is unexpected.
Ms. Kensinger.
So when you're talking about our city's finances and fiscal responsibility, I think you have to look at the history of Findlay as well. And if you go back in the past, there's only been 1 year in the recent history that we had any deficit spending as a city. I think the people who went before us they looked towards the future. They set aside money for pensions, rainy day funds, capital improvements. We have very little that's out there in loans and levies waiting to be paid by our city. We've done a good job. And if you look at spending, I don't know how you do your budget at home, but if you don't make a regular salary, if you work on commission, and you don't know from month to month what'll come in, it'll depend on what you sell, you have to make a flexible budget. You just say, if we get the money in, we're going to spend it on this thing here, and if we don't have enough, that's what we're going to pull back on. And that's what our city has done in budgeting, as far as I can tell, and listening to what's going on, that they've made that kind of a budget. They said, we anticipate this is what's going to come in. And I think our sales, as a commission-based, I'm commission-based, so I anticipate my sales are going to be right here. And if they do, then we're going to spend it this way. And I have it allocated that way so that when it comes in, I don't spend it erroneously. I spend it on the way that I had it allocated. And that's how our city has set up the budget. They set it up so when the money comes in, we spend it here. And if we don't have that, when we pull back, we look every month, did we get that money or did we not? And then we make adjustments accordingly.
And Ms. Fall.
Thank you. And I would have to agree with Brad. Financial planning is not my forte, but I do have to believe that with the people that are on council currently, that someone on there understands what they're voting for, and hopefully that they've looked at the numbers and they voted that this is okay. So we have to trust the professionals that are saying it's okay. We have to understand that the mayor has done this for the last, from what I understand, couple of years, and it's worked out. And I believe that it's on the right track. Like Heather mentioned, we haven't run in a deficit. So I don't know that saying how it's going right now is the right thing to do, because it's going well. And if it changes, then I certainly think those conversations should happen.
Chris?
Yes.
A rebuttal on that, in the fact that our state monitors our finances as a city. And we have a website. They've put out the preliminary report for 2024. We still are running strong. We're not in fiscal crisis according to our state. We're nowhere near it.
Any other discussion? All right. We'll move on. Speaking of money, much has been made about plans for development of the downtown recreation area in the newly opened green space along the Blanchard River. Critics have labeled it the mayor's $40 million park project, even though she has repeatedly said that she does not anticipate the cost to be $40 million and that the city would only be spending a fraction of that amount itself, with the rest coming from outside donations. I'm curious your thoughts on plans for that undeveloped area, and we'll begin with Ms. Fall.
I didn't know that you were going to bring up the park. Just kidding. Of course we did. That's a big topic. My thought is it's very expensive. I think it definitely something should happen on that space. But $40 million, and I realize that that's the maximum. But my concern, after reading the report and some of the things, the studies that were cited, were studies from the late 90s and the early 2000s. I would love to see something that's current, where other cities have done similar things. And I would really appreciate corporations or organizations or grants or something that steps up and say, yes, I support this, if you can move forward with it. That's my opinion.
Ms. Kensinger.
I think when you're talking about the park, what side of it do you want to talk about? Because there is the cleanup and the flood mitigation, and then there's the park itself. And there's two parts to it, and one has to happen. We've got to finish. We're 75% of the way through flood mitigation and through cleaning up those sites, and I think those have to be finished. But those aren't projects that we're directly taking on. Those are things that the county and now we've the EPA for the state of Ohio is going to help us a little bit looking over and making sure that those things happen. So that's something that's kind of not in our control in per se, because it's something the county's taking on and we're partnering with them. That needs to be done. That needs to be finished. We've been talking about flood mitigation for over 100 years. We need to get it finished in our city, and that's a piece of the park. And then beyond that, that area in our city is the heart. It's in the heart of our city. People come from all over to see Finley. We have a county courthouse and we have the new judicial center. I think these are amazing, and people come from outside of Finley and they drive down our main street, and that's one of the first things they see is this big empty plot of land that's a little bit of a plight in the middle of our city. We can't do a lot with it. We can't build on it. We can't put buildings anymore. There's restrictions because of it, and so we have to put a park. That's pretty much all we can do with it. How we do it and the steps we take is what this council is going to have to decide. And we have to look at, this is the plan. And we've talked about, this is the plan and this is what it is. And then we'll solicit donations to see what we can make happen.
Mr. Needles.
I've said it before. Finley's a first-class city and we deserve a first-class park. Now, you did say that it was the $40 million park. And the mayor has come and said that it probably won't be. And I believe her. And I think we're doing what we can right now to be fiscally responsible about filling that space, because right now it is an empty space and we do need something there that will vibrate that community or area of the downtown Finley. Now we are building it so that it is going to withstand those floods should it happen again. I mean, there's no way we can tell that something doesn't, you know, dam up the Blanchard and goes that way. But we want to make sure we have the right construction and we have the right builders in there to do the right job so that it stays for a very long time and can maintain itself. The park itself, I think we also, in the way of being fiscally responsible, you know, you look at it and the estimate, let's say it was $40 million. I think there's ways that we can bring that down, and the mayor has probably already realized this, that we can still have a first-class park and make the adjustments necessary to make it a fiscally responsible park as well. And I believe that it's going to serve more than just a piece of grass. I mean, we could have events there. We have an event this weekend for Oktoberfest. That would be a great spot to hold that every year so that we're not taking up those downtown streets and letting those businesses still function down there without any hesitation.
And Mr. Wagner.
Really can't poke any holes in anything that they've said so far, but I'll point out the obvious. I'm the old guy up here. I remember as a young boy going up and down Main Street Finley. It was fantastic. We've lost probably, I'm going to guesstimate, easily 100 buildings. But right now, as Jill and I travel around the United States and travel around Ohio, we're behind the curve. We're getting beat. Our downtown is a mess, and it doesn't have to be. Finley is amazing. I've had people, when I was out on the trail, they said, well, why can't we have nice things? We can. We can. We got to think big, and I'm here to think big. We can do this park. We can do the mall. We can do I-75. We can do our exits. We can do all this stuff. I'm not going to bite into this backsliding mentality. Everybody that has came to me so far says, I don't want to be able to do anything. We got to save our money. And I say, okay, what do you want to do? I don't know. Nobody has an idea. Bring me ideas. I believe that right now the administration's ideas, I've seen them, I think it's a beautiful plan. I've said that from the get-go. I want it. I won't be sitting around here in Finley and allowing Finley to backslide. I'm here to fight for Finley. If we're sitting still and we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards. I've lived here my whole life. I've seen a lot of villages around here, a lot of towns just about disappear. We cannot allow that to happen.
We are going to leave it there for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to expand on that theme. Actually, it really is a nice transition into some of what we want to talk about next, but a brief break, and we'll be back with more from tonight's candidate forum featuring the four candidates who are vying to who are in the race for Finley City Council at large this November. We'll be back in just a moment.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN and now at 95.5 FM.
When you give someone someone flowers, you want the freshest flowers. So call Sink's Flower Shop and Greenhouse. Fresh floral arrangements, seasonal wreaths, whatever the occasion, wherever the destination, you can count on Sink's for flowers and arrangements that exceed your expectations for quality. They guarantee it. Stop by Sink's Flower Shop and Greenhouse at 2700 North Main Finley. Or call Sink's at 422-7722. Ask for delivery in Finley and Hancock County.
Tired of being spooked by your ghastly increasing insurance premiums? Looking for an insurance agent that doesn't give you the heebie-jeebies when they try to explain your spine-chilling policies to you? Do you want an insurance agency that doesn't frighten you with their petrifying customer service and horrifying response time?
Stop into T.R. Williams Insurance and speak with Tammy. T.R. Williams at the corner of Tiffin Avenue and Dunn Street in Findlay. On social media or online at trwilliamsinsurance.com. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Look no further than PCNet Techs, your locally owned and trusted partner for IT solutions. Whether you're a small startup or a large enterprise, they've got the tools and expertise to propel you forward. They can assist you with a one-time project or provide ongoing support. From hardware and software to managed services, they tailor solutions to you. Call 833-5-IT-TECH or visit pc-net-techs.com, where innovation meets excellence.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN and now at 95.5 FM.
Welcome back to tonight's candidate forum featuring the four candidates in the race for Findlay City Council at large. Mentioned before our brief break that Mr. Wagner's response to the previous question leads us to the next topic that I wanted to discuss, because the downtown park that we were talking about just a moment ago has often been referred to as the mayor's pet project. And she has said that she feels very strongly about its potential benefits to the city, even describing it in terms of leaving a legacy for generations to come. And it got me to thinking that many people in public office probably have ideas for some sort of legacy project, something that they are equally passionate about that they would that they believe would make the community a better place for generations to come. So what would be your pet project in that sense? And we'll begin with Mr. Wagner.
I have already let slip that I care about Maple Grove Cemetery. When you travel up and down I-75, especially when you get south of Lima, even south of Dayton, all the exits up down I-75 look pretty fantastic. When you get north of Lima and you look at our exits coming off of I-75 and looking at Findlay, doesn't look so fantastic. So especially when you get off and you look at the cemetery, you can't even see it because it's all overgrown. It didn't used to be like that when they built the interstate. I'm going to clean all that up. It's a small thing, but I think it can be a big thing because it impacts how developers and people traveling up and down one of our greatest assets, which is I-75, we can clean it up. We can make it look a lot better. All I hear is, well, we can't afford that. We'll figure it out. We have to. So that was one of my pet projects.
Mr. Needles?
Is that working?
Better?
As far as leaving a legacy, I don't need a statue outside of anything, but to solve a problem that Findlay is facing is parking. And I don't have all the answers for that right now. I do have ideas, and I've said them before, as far as the old juvenile courthouse. It's a space that is no longer in use, and it is a space that we could use for parking if necessary. I'm sure there's other ideas, and I'd love to hear them, but I think that that's one idea that I would champion, I think, and it's a problem that we have, and I would love to solve that in our town.
Ms. Kinzinger.
So I took on a project actually recently. I just finished up my master's degree, and one of our final projects was to decide on something that could help our community. And one of the things that I decided that I wanted to do was begin with a little bit of the Findlay formula. We talked about how people work together and help the nonprofits, the pastors and the churches in our town partner together better with our city leaders. And one of the ways I am going about that is through our emergency response. Now, emergency response has five areas: prevention, protection, mitigation, response, and recovery. It's a breadth of stuff that emergency response takes care of. And so sitting down with our fire chief and our police chief and our EMA for the county and looking at this really little sliver of a window of response. And if you have something happen in your city, if we had a neighborhood on the far side of town and tornadoes took out a couple of houses, what do we do at that point when the fire and rescue has gotten people out and the gas lines are turned off and the electric and we have two families standing there, what do we do with them? Because right now our city doesn't have the ability to do a lot. And so partnering with churches to get vans and buses, to get those people picked up and taken to a safe location, to offer maybe childcare with community leaders that can, or church volunteers that watch those kids and keep an eye on them so their parents can get the handle on what's going on. And so I've been meeting with pastors and leaders in the Unhoused Coalition to bridge this gap in our city so that pastors and leaders and our city government can work together.
And Ms. Ball.
Thank you, and congratulations on your master's degree. That's a big accomplishment. For me, I don't have a pet project. Being part of the community outreach group for the strategic plan, I think it's really important to look at what our community wants, what they told us that they want, and we really need to focus on those things. I printed off a page from the plan. There are 5-6 goals: a safe community, a well-run city government, a caring government, a thriving business environment, an attractive place, an active community, and a connected city. There are so many things that everyone said here that can fit into each of those buckets, but I think it's really important to understand what the community wants and not me as a member of our community. So I think paying attention to that strategic plan and going through it and figuring out what's doable, if we can do it all, that would be fantastic. But I think really looking at that plan a little deeper, because the community was asked and they gave answers, so I think that's important.
Once again, you kind of lead into one of the next questions that I wanted to ask with respect to the strategic plan. And you mentioned the point on a caring government. And that one, from the very beginning, was one that sort of caught my eye, because that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So I'm curious, and I'll ask each of you, what does that mean to you, a caring government, and how would you work toward achieving that goal? And we'll begin with Ms. Paul.
I think for me, a caring government would mean listening to everyone. I know a lot of us are in social media, probably not a good thing, and sometimes it's a good thing, but a lot of times it's a bad thing, and that's where people get their news, or that's where people are. So we have to pay attention to what people are saying, unfortunately or fortunately. Either way, it could go bad, or it could be a really good thing, but we have to recognize what people are saying and offer solutions, say that they're heard, and just respond. I think a caring government means that you hear people and you respond and give a solution.
Ms. Kensinger.
A caring government is one that does listen to its people. It's one that takes time and cares about the well-being, so that the programs and things that are put into place are for the well-being of its citizens. Part of the reason that I wanted to do the project I did was to help care for people in moments that they needed it the most. And as a city, we've done that in the past. This city, we've grown from this amazing small community where people walked up and down Main Street and they knew each other by name. And if you read some of the old, not to be morbid like Brad, if you read some of the old obituaries of people who were founders in our town, they're amazing. And the way that the community loved them and respected them, and they built community because they listened to each other. And things were done with debate, and probably, you know, one side didn't get quite what they wanted, but they came together as a community and they compromised and they held together and they made our community great. And I think that's what being a caring community is. Or we don't ignore our neighbor because we don't like them or because they don't look like us. We care about people and what's going on in their lives. I think we can continue to do that as a city. I think that's important. I think that's why people think it's important. You want to feel valued and connected, and we can do that with government.
Mr. Needles.
Yeah, a caring community is one that will listen to each other, take everybody's strengths and understand them, and then you can kind of put those to work. One of the reasons that I ran for the at-large position was to be able to hear everybody in the city. And if their ward isn't listening, then I could be that individual that either, if you want to say, pick up the slack or be that open ear for that ward when their councilman maybe isn't listening as much as they should, and bring that to council and make their voices heard. And just working together and being the best that we can be as a unit, I think is very important to building that.
Mr. Wagner.
This guy keeps stealing all my thunder. This is not one of my pet projects. I know and I believe that we do have a very, very caring community. And one of the things that I care deeply about, and this is just because who I am, is all of our veterans associations. I don't know whether or not all of you know this, but we do care, and we're trying, and we're going to try better. We're going to try harder. In the United States, I don't know what the number is right now. I've got our chairman of the Hancock County Veterans Services here. We were losing 22 veterans a day here in the United States, and we even lose some here in Hancock County, as y'all saw from, we had a silent watch going on here last week. So I do believe that we have a caring community, and I believe that we're going to continue to keep on caring. And if I can, I'm going to continue to make sure that city government works hand in hand, not only just with the veterans associations, but with all the churches, the not-for-profits, the schools. I know a lot of people don't like to mix the school with the city, but I don't care. We all got to get along. We got to keep this city going in the right direction and just keep on loving each other.